To my surprise, out plopped 6 dead puppies. Flippity-flop. Oh, my God. With 6 dead dogs on my hands, I knew I was in big trouble. What if someone came upon me, and there were these dead puppies lying at my feet? I hastily dropped each one back into the sack, ready to return it to the stream. But as I grabbed the last one, the smallest of them all, it seemed to quiver, and its mouth opened and gave a sort of gasp. So I gave it a bit of a squeeze, and it vomited a jet of water. I squeezed it again, and more water came out. One back leg started to jerk. I squeezed a third time, and it must have been empty because nothing happened, except that it started to breathe. Well, you can't just put a nearly dead puppy back in the sack and hope for the best, can you? So I took him beyond the shade of the overhanging mimosa and laid him down in a patch of sunlight. Then I quickly retied the bag and dragged it back to the stream and watched as the current caught it and it floated away around a rocky corner and was soon out of sight. I must say I was glad to see the last of it. 5 dead puppies lying at your feet is no way to start a morning. But then it struck me that a live puppy was going to be a lot more trouble than a dead one. How was a little kid in an orphanage, where you were not allowed to have anything of your own, going to look after a puppy? Suddenly, my life had become very complicated. I sat in the warm sun beside the puppy, stroking its pink tummy, which by now was pumping up and down 13 to the dozen as it came truly alive and started to get warm again. I was accustomed to getting into trouble, mostly because of my surname, Fitzaxby. I was English. Well, that's what my name said I was, anyway. And I was in the deep north, high mountain country, Boer territory, where the English were hated because of what they'd done in the Boer War. They'd started the world's first concentration camps and filled them with Boer women and children from the farms. Many came from these mountains. That wasn't the bad part. The reason they hated the British was because 27,000 of them died of dysentery and blackwater fever and other terrible and unsanitary things. In a way, it was understandable that they hated me for being English. You don't forget things like what happened to your own Omar so easily, do you? I picked up the still wet puppy and clasped him to my chest, and he began to suck on my thumb and whimper. There was no doubt he was properly alive again, and I had acquired a problem too big for a 6-year-old boy's brain. All of a sudden, it struck me. My friend Mattress, the pig boy, would know what to do. Mattress was my friend, even if he was a grown-up. If you're black, you get called boy, even if you're an old man. You can be a garden boy, kitchen boy, farm boy, house boy, or a pig boy like Mattress, because he looked after the orphanage pigs and also worked with the cows in the dairy. I can tell you, having a friend like him was good, because having friends in that place wasn't easy when you had an English name. Nobody wanted to be the friend of the Roineck, which is what they called you if you were English. It means redneck. One thing was for sure. The concentration camp business never went away, but was always pointing a finger at you. Roineck, you are evil. God is going to punish you and you are going to hell, you hear? This is what happened to the Boer. I know it's true, because on Sundays, when we had to attend church, the preacher stood up in his long black robes with a little white starched bib under his chin. It must have been there to catch the spit when he got angry with the English, which is what he did every Sunday morning without fail. He got all worked up and thumped the pulpit and started going on and on. Soon he'd be red in the face, and spit came flying out of his mouth and sprayed onto his beard that almost covered the entire bib. So after all that trouble to wear it, the bib wasn't any good for catching spit. At first I would get really frightened, me being the only Englishman in the congregation, and him saying I was the devil's children. Not me personally, he didn't point to me, but I guess it amounted to the same thing. All the other kids would turn and look at me, and the guys on either side of me would give me a sharp dig in the ribs and whisper, "Verdammte Roineck," damned redneck. But then I worked out a scenario that went like this. The preacher, who in Afrikaans is called a dominee, had this big round head with jet black hair that was parted down the center and was plastered down on his head with grease so that it looked just like a shiny beet